The scripture reading continues that of the previous one. It is still from the book of Hebrews, this time from the 12th chapter, just the verses immediately following where Diane left off, just the opening verses of that chapter. Listen to God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We live in communities. It was just a couple weeks ago that in my own life, the anniversary of my living in Cranberry for 9 years took place. There were no trumpets or fanfares, but nevertheless, I marked the day and noted that. We live in communities, and certainly geographic communities where we actually reside are one of those communities. But we live in other kinds of communities as well. Even geographically, we're aligned by counties and by states. And when we vote on Tuesday, it is actually the accumulation of the votes within the state that will determine how the electoral votes are cast. And so we are a community. We are a state. We are also, of course, because we are going to elect a president of a nation. So we are a community of people in the United States of America. But there are other kinds of communities. There are communities by association, by school districts in which we live, which may combine more than one community. That's also geography. But there are communities of like interest, of music. There is a musical community. There's a community of sports. There's even, and when I received my doctorate degree, I was welcomed into the community of scholars. We live in all kinds of communities. And of course, there are families. Our families are communities. The church is a community. Actually, a number of communities. This week, we saw communities gather together to express our grief and to reach out and help support the Cody family in the loss of Aline. We saw a number of communities coming together. The running community, the coach meeting with some of the girls who were on the cross-country team on Sunday night, and they're sharing together around a circle of chairs. They were a community of people. The youth group has been a community this week as part of our church community, certainly, but they have been a community under Pastor Rosanna and the other youth leaders' leadership. People who certainly live in this neighborhood, who are friends with the Codys, many, many. Outpouring of concern and support and wanting to do something and food and decorating the fellowship hall. You'll still see some of that and the cranes, the project, which I think was a school project, was it not? Was it a project of class in the school kids who made cranes that you'll see hanging in there? It's a number of communities. And that is well that we come together under such circumstances. As I've said, the church is a community. sometimes that's geographic. Sometimes that's the church in the town where you live or where you can drive and get there on a Sunday morning to worship with. Sometimes it's denominations, the Presbyterian church family community. And know that the presbytery has been praying for us this week as a church family. Communities that cross denominational boundaries. Yesterday there were not just Presbyterians in this church building. There were from many different denominations and different faith communities as well. Historically, the reformers have looked at the church as a number of communities. They've called the church the visible church. That is, all who profess the name of Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination, those who are visible, those who worship, those who attend those buildings that are in communities that are visible. That is the visible church. But the reformers have also emphasized that there is something called the invisible church. And not everyone necessarily who is in the visible church is really a part of the invisible church, because only God knows who is in the invisible church. And that is those whose hearts really are attuned to God, who really have given their lives and hearts to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hopefully that is many within the visible church. But the reformers made a distinction that there is that invisible church that only God knows. The Puritans, for example, tried to build a church establishment where they tried to figure out who the invisible church was and only let them into the visible church. That didn't really work quite so well, depending on your opinion. There is also, in terms of the categories of the church, theologians have noted, and the church has historically kind of used the language of militancy, of military. They've called those who are alive in the world today, no matter what denomination, visible, invisible, the church militant. And so in our hymnal, past we've had hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers and kind of those images of battling and fighting. More modern hymn compilers have toned down that image. I don't even think Onward Christian Soldiers is in our hymnal as well, because of some are uncomfortable with that kind of warring combination. I guess because of crusades and other actual literal warrings in the past. But the church militant is the church that is alive and struggling in the world today for the cause of Christ. Fighting not so much with swords, hopefully not fighting with swords, but fighting for peace. If that's not oxymoronic, yet that's what the church does. For justice, for human concerns of feeding the hungry and healing the sick and comforting the afflicted in so many ways. We're battling that way, battling against the sin of our own lives that keeps us separated from God. That is the church militant. And we are all, by virtue of our participation in Jesus Christ, part of those churches, the visible church. We trust the invisible church and the church militant. Then there is, continuing the imagery of military, of the church militant, there is the church triumphant. That is what All Saints Day seeks to recognize and acknowledge. The church triumphant, in the imagery in which it is cast in that language historically, is the church made up of those who have been a part of the church militant in the world, who have served God and Jesus Christ in the world, and now they are victors. They have gone on. They are no longer in that battle. They are in heaven with God. They are the church triumphant. Their struggle has ended. They are at peace. Their work is done. The church has acknowledged that distinction. It's made up of so many. We read that wonderful hymn. It's kind of hard. We stumble over those words in the opening hymn, "Ye watchers and ye holy ones." There were cherubim in there and seraphim in there and all kinds of categories that we could read. And the point of that hymn is that we are with them. We are part of, we are all the church of Jesus Christ. We are the church universal. The invisible church, the visible church, the church militant, even the church triumphant, we are one. And it's what the Apostles' Creed refers to when we have a baptism, we say the Apostles' Creed. It is the communion of saints. That is what is meant. It is meant of the whole shebang. Everyone, living, dead, even those who will be born in the future, they will be part of that larger group, the church, the communion of saints. And we just need to clarify the use of that word, saint. We tend to think of saints sometimes as people who are the really, 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 really holy ones. Well, some of them are. And there were martyrs in there in that song, weren't there? And apostles and all of those kinds of categories to which we may not aspire. But did you note in the prayer of confession, which I think is just so wonderful, it reminds us, it makes note of the fact that this is All Saints Sunday, and yesterday was literally All Saints Day. God of the ages, we remember the saints who have gone before us. And then, towards the end of that prayer of confession, we prayed, remind us that the saints before us were not perfect. They were just forgiven. You don't have to be perfect to be a saint. You just have to be forgiven. They were not righteous in and of themselves, but they were saved by grace. That's you and me. We are saints. It's not just the church triumphant who can own that category. It's not just the elite of the church triumphant who can own that category. It is every one of us for whom Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We are the saints. And so the communion that the Apostles' Creed notes is the communion of saints of all of the church, all of the saints. We are connected. And death does not sever that connection. Just the end of it is known in the Scripture as the Hall of Fame of Faith. It gives a whole lot of people. David is in there. Abraham is in there. Everybody, all kinds of people. Not everybody, but a lot of them are in there because they lived their lives by faith. It's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And then, in the 12th chapter, which I'm sure the writer of the book of Hebrews didn't write that Hall of Fame and then take a break and go back and write Chapter 12, it flows right one from the other. It is a therefore. Therefore is always there for a reason. It points back to what has come before and moves us on forward. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded by the church triumphant. And our church, physically, we're reminded of that because the cemetery is right behind us, but we can still, many of us in our minds, envision where those who have gone before us actually sat in this very space. Their memory is with us. But we need to note that the connection, the communion of the saints is a reality. It is a spiritual reality. It is not physical. At least not yet. You see, that's our hope. Our hope is that there will be, this is the clear teaching of Scripture, there will be a resurrection of the body. And those who have gone before us will be raised with resurrection bodies. Physical. This is a physicality. The Scripture is very clear of this. This is not some Gnostic, just kind of ethereal existence. there will be the redemption of our bodies, the redemption of this world in which we live. It is part of the great hope in which we now live, but it is not yet. We are here physically. The church triumphant is spiritually with God. But we are connected through Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. They are in Christ. We mirror some of the very things that they do in the worship of God. What we are doing now is part of what the church triumphant does in ways far beyond what we are doing. They are worshiping God and the Lamb in the presence of the Spirit. And we will join them unless Christ comes before our own deaths. And we will be united with them physically in the resurrection of the dead. But now we still have communion, even with them, the communion of the saints, celebration of the sacrament, which we call a communion, reminds us that communion with them and our unity, even with each other, those of us who are still part of the church militant, the church in the world today, our unity, our communion with each other is in Jesus Christ. It is Christ who unites us. It is Christ who unites us with those who have lived in Christ, even in faith, according to the teaching of the Scripture from those in the Old Testament who lived in faith even before Christ came and lived and died. Their communion is still by faith, and it is in Christ. And we are surrounded, and we are in communion by so great a cloud of witnesses, that therefore we are encouraged to let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And I can't help but note this imagery, especially out of the context of Helene, who was herself a runner. Now it is up to us to run, because the Scripture says, "And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Because we are participating in the communion of saints, and we do so in and through Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.